Thanks be to God, thus far the Holy Gospel for today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. It's Requiem Mass for Pete Petrosino, to all his family, Louise, the family, children, grandchildren, friends, faithful. I extend to you my deepest condolences. He was a man who was well loved. We're not accustomed to give eulogies in the traditional rite, with exceptions. The bishop can do it. The bishop can allow the priest to do it. But normally we preach about the last things, death, judgment, hell, and heaven. But it's very well for us to reflect upon this man's life, as I've known only the last 4 years. And take what was good, thank God for it, and imitate what was good. Which, of course, we know his complete dedication to his family and to his faith. And having served this country in the military, this is a man of God. This is a man who, as far as we can tell, lived his faith and died with the faith and with, thankfully, the last rites, except he could not receive communion. And so, we who are left behind, follow what was good. I'll point out what was good: his devotion to the traditional Catholic faith. As some of you know, he came to this church from St. Lucy's, where the late and very distinguished Monsignor Joseph Granato, who passed on last month, was very close to Pete, and they were very fond of sacred music. So that's a very good hobby, sacred music. It can be very consoling and building up of civilization. He worked hard for his family. He loved you all. And he worked hard to make this parish his true spiritual family. He was very close with the Holy Name Society. He did a lot of good. Always humble, always hardworking, ready to volunteer. Truly, he was a gift to this parish and to this country. And so, take what was good: his devotion to the rosary, even while watching and helping children cross safely the road. He would give them rosary beads and pray in the quiet times of that particular job. Yes, we shall miss him. As St. Paul said, let us grieve, but not with the grief of the pagans who have no hope. Our Lord Jesus Christ has given us hope by his life, his death, his resurrection. And in this example from the Gospel, whenever he wishes, he could raise up someone from the dead. But Lazarus and the others who were raised up from the dead, they had to die again, definitively, because this is the common lot of fallen humanity. Death, horrible as it is a result of sin. So we should not fear death, we should fear sin. And today, 49 years ago, the Supreme Court of the United States decided that the sin that cries out to heaven for vengeance should be allowed everywhere in these United States. The butchery began with the blessing of the Supreme Court and continues to this day. So people are marching in Washington to try to overturn. The Supreme Court justices reviewed Roe v. Wade recently and will make a decision soon. Please God, they will overturn. But it's not enough to overturn and stop the butchery. There must be reparation made for that. There must be reparation. Because it's a sin, one of the four, which cries out to heaven for vengeance. So as long as this crime goes on, particularly with public support and our taxpayer money, there will be more bloodshed, more horror, more death. and this life, this world, will be a living hell. I bring this up because of the anniversary is today and people are marching and protesting, good people. And also the comparison. The life of the child before he's born is in darkness. And when the child is born, it's brought into the light. And that's why we celebrate birthdays. Because you are born into this world, which is quite different to the world we were living in our mother's womb. Well, Scripture says, blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And we call those who are deceased in the grace of God, we call them saints. And we call that day of their death their birthday. And so, last Saturday, we had the birthday of Pete into his immortal and eternal light. Now, just as some babies are born with some defects that need to be put in a separate room or a special medical treatment before they can come home, so some who die in the grace of God must be put into that place of purification, which we call purgatory, until whatever defects are there are purged away with the fires of purgatory, purgation. And so perhaps Peter is in purgatory. We don't know. He may well be in heaven already. But these sacred rites, the sacred mass, the sacrifice of the mass will help his soul. And if he doesn't need our help, if he's already in heaven, it will help the others in purgatory. And they will then bless us and help us on our journey. So this whole of our life, 30, 40, 80 years, however long you live in this valley of tears, it's like being in the womb. We who have been reborn in the sacred waters of baptism, we cross that final river. We are born into eternal light, eternal life when we die. So the day of your death is your birthday, if you die in the grace of God. We have, in the Gospels, Martha reveals what was the belief of the Jews for many centuries before Christ, that I believe my brother will rise again at the last day. That was the belief of Jews and Christians. Another man who was not of the Jewish race, 1,000 years before Christ, closer perhaps to 2,000, at the time of Moses, was a man called Job. Right before the book of Psalms, in the middle of your Bible, is the book of Job. He was not of the Jewish faithful believers. He was an Edomite. Job was a godly man. And in the Requiem liturgy of the Divine Office, we have lots of passages from the book of Job. He's a famous man for his patience, for his suffering, even though innocent, and a light was shone upon the reason for suffering and death in this book of Job. In chapter 19, he writes this, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the last day I shall rise out of the earth, and I shall be clothed again with my skin, and in my flesh I shall see my God, whom I myself shall see, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. This is my hope, laid up in my bosom. So Job and Martha manifest the Christian belief that on the last day all will rise up in their perfected bodies, no defects, perfect. And for those who died in the grace of God, in Christ, as St. Paul says, they will be caught up into the clouds to help with the judgment of the angels and of all men. We are called to be judges. We are called to share in this risen life of our Lord. My own body that I have now will be reconstructed and glorified. So this is our hope. We will see him again in the flesh, but without any defects. And we plan to rejoice in eternal happiness in heaven, which is vastly different to this world, vastly superior. It is our goal. It's where God, our Lord, wants us to be. He's already there in his flesh, risen and glorified, preparing a special mansion for you, for Pete, for each one of us. This is our destiny. Anything that gets in the way of that destiny, we should reject, renounce, rebuke. And whatever system or structures in your family or in this country that impede our way to heaven, we should change, work towards changing. This is our mission in life. This hopeful aspect of the Requiem is in the preface of the Mass. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in him the hope of a blessed resurrection has shone forth to us, so that the promise of future immortality may console those of us who are saddened by the certain lot of dying. The life of those who are faithful to thee, O Lord, is but changed, not ended. And when their earthly dwelling place decays, an everlasting mansion stands prepared for them in heaven, with all the angels and archangels, thrones and dominations. We give glory to God. We look forward to that day. And so the saints who lived for our Lord, they looked forward to the day of their death, as you would look forward to the greatest possible celebration in life. I remind you that the promise of eternal life is given to us by our Lord for those who have worthily received him. Those who receive him in the bread of life, in the Holy Communion, have this pledge and guarantee of eternal life, to be raised up with him. Those who refuse it will not have eternal life. This is chapter 6 of St. John. Another one of the Requiem Masses for the daily Mass of the dead. This passage, this astonishing chapter 6 of St. John, the remedy of immortal life, the medicine of eternity, is in the Holy Communion, which all are obliged to receive once a year, and all who are well prepared and disposed are invited to receive every day. Our daily bread. In one of the Gospels, the word is daily bread. In another gospel, St. Luke, I think, the term is supersubstantial bread. So this bread of life comes to us only through the sacrifice of the Mass, and that only can be possible through the ordained priesthood, continual succession of the apostles from those 12 original to the bishops of today and the priests they ordain. And so we must receive communion, but not at every Mass. That's one of the problems with the modern church. Everybody receives communion. Nobody goes to confession. Nobody observes the traditional fasting. So I remind you, the traditional fasting rules, traditional rules for cleansing our souls before communion. We have Lent coming up in 6 weeks. From the Lenten period to the end of the Easter period, we must make a good confession. We must go to communion. And remember the promise of our Lord. I will raise you up on the last day, and you will share eternal life, eternal happiness with all the saints and the angels of heaven. So Holy Communion is given here at this Mass for Catholics in the state of grace, having confessed their sins, having been to confession as needed, and fasting according to the law of the Church. On top of that, not standing unless you have serious physical impediments, kneeling and on the tongue. This is the custom here, as it was in every Catholic Church 50 years ago, in every Christian Church 500 years ago, and for 1,000 years before that. This Church keeps the tradition. Pete was dedicated to the tradition. Here was his spiritual family. We're all very sad at his departure on the natural and human level, But we're all very glad that he was such a dedicated man, wholly devoted to the good Lord and Our Lady, and that he had that marvelous and these days exceedingly rare privilege of receiving the last rites on his deathbed. So try to take some thoughts of this from the sacred liturgy. Try to imitate what was good in his life and renew your commitment to serving our Lord in the best way you can, in the way he has shown is pleasing to him, the way of Catholic tradition. And attend the sacrifice of the Mass as often as you can. Don't forget his soul. Today, the day of his burial, or the day of his death, remember the anniversary. Try to make special prayers for him in the month of November. We pray for the dead, but also on his anniversary. It will be hard for Louise on wedding anniversaries, Christmas, birthdays. These are the hard times when you've lost one that you love. So support the family, pray for them. And remember, we are here in this valley of tears. This is not our destination. We're only here for a short time, like the baby in the womb. Only a short time compared to the long years many of us will live. And so this many years of decades of this life is only a prelude to the ultimate, the eternal life. This is the message of the Holy Gospel. This is the message of our faith. This is what gives us hope. So that we may grieve, and we should, but not like the pagans do, who have no hope. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto Peter, O Lord. Let perpetual light shine upon him. May he rest in peace. Amen. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.